Hello and happy winter. I am so delighted to see that all of you either had or made the margin in your schedules to join us here at the studio tonight or to be joining us online sometime after this coming Sunday to worship together with us the celebration of the coming of baby Jesus into the world to be our Messiah so many years ago. You know, that phrase of having margin is interesting to me, the way it's evolved in our culture, at least in recent years. When I was in school a few years ago, actually quite a few years ago, if we didn't have enough margin, it meant that we were either writing or typing too close to the edge of our paper. Anyone else remember that? Yeah. And today it has come to mean that we don't have enough time in our life to add one more thing at either today, tomorrow, or maybe ever. And we commonly today hear people say things like, I just don't have the margin to do that today, or, you know, probably not next week either. This issue of not having time for things in life has become more and more a stressor in our world today. How did that ever happen? Well, a century ago, there were not nearly the number of distractions that are everywhere in our world today. In 1925, only 50% of American households even had electricity, which meant that when the sun went down in 1925, people either went to bed or they actually had conversations with family members over, you know, the fire nearby. And just when my kids were little, my little boys and I lived in a small apartment in Hopkins, we had just one telephone. It was connected to the wall between the dining room and the kitchen. One telephone. And because our apartment had kind of become the indoor playground for the kids in our apartment complex, it was really difficult for me to either have time or make space to have a private phone call. So what I would do, I got the longest, springiest cord I could. And when I needed to be on the phone, and you know, for a number of those years as a single person, I like to have a little privacy on the phone. So I would take the phone off the hook, take it through the kitchen, out into the hallway of our apartment, and shut the door on the cord. I don't know if anyone else can, a couple of you can remember some things like that. Yes, it was the only way that I could find to have that kind of time. Today, every American home has not just electricity, but cell phone service, internet, that allows people to have the blessings, I'm not 100% sure of that, to use our own devices, all kinds of devices, 24 hours a day to be distracted by the world at our fingertips. Additionally, the options for activities outside the home today, hobbies, other kinds of events are endless for both kids and adults, creating a whirling schedule in a lot of households of who's going to make time today to take whom to what event at what time and how are we going to make all this work. Enter a timely and really relevant teaching series at ECC on making room for our Creator God in our lives. We worship, serve, and are loved by a Heavenly Father who offers Himself to have a place in our lives, our hearts, our schedules, our spirits. But, operative word, He offers Himself. He doesn't force Himself into our lives. And if you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. God invites us to abide with Him. That's a powerful word. God invites us to be and longs to be an abiding presence in our lives so that we can know His love, can know His presence with us, to know that we are never alone, no matter what life might throw our way. But it's on us to make this happen. How can we possibly do that in lives that are already so cluttered and so crammed full of things that we just don't have the margin? Making time for what we believe are the most important things has perhaps never been more difficult than today. Things that we highly value have to be prioritized. As a counseling psychologist, when I'm working with couples, I find that there are many reasons why couples struggle with their relationship and sometimes fail. But growing apart is one of the primary reasons for them all at the center, growing apart. I talk with couples about what I call the six footings under the foundation of a relationship, and having being married to a husband who used to be in construction and having an adult son who is currently in construction, I've learned how important footings are under a foundation, especially in Minnesota where we have shifting things under the surface, ground, water, and things like that. So that if there aren't these footings that hold that foundation secure, if even one of them lapses, the entire building can be compromised. So I talk about six footings, and the first footing I talk about is time. Because without time, there is no relationship. And the less time we give to our relationships, the more they tend to start drifting apart. Our Father God has called us to abide in Him. What an incredible thought that is to me. We're in a series that is focusing on this discipline of making room for our God in our lives. And the focus is not one of blame, shame, or you just better do this, get your act together, you're in big trouble. That's not the focus. The focus is on the fact that God has so much to give us, so much He wants to give us, so much He's longing to give us to help us know His joy, His peace, His strength for this journey that we have in this world. But we can only receive those blessings if we make room for Him in our lives. I invite you to write that down as well. Countless blessings are waiting for those who make room. It's kind of like somehow being stuck in a cold, empty building. It's bitter cold outside and there's no heat in the building, but aha, somebody delivers to you this amazing top of the line electric blanket and you wrap it around yourself and think, oh, this is going to save my life. Only to find out that it gives you no warmth at all unless you plug it in and stay close to that source where you have to plug it in. Similarly, we need to plug into our relationship with our Creator God. Our human nature, just by virtue of who we are, is so very self-focused. And because we humans are so often guided by the tyranny of the urgent or the distraction of all the glitters, we need to hold ourselves accountable for the things that we have chosen to be priorities. Kind of like a runner who is going to run a marathon has to make the decision to run every day, no matter what the weather, if he or she is wanting to win the prize. When we're feeling pretty good about our lives, about ourselves, about how things are going, we can be so easily distracted by the all that glitters and all that we deserve to think about and have. And when we're feeling down, discouraged, depressed, feeling like we are nothing more than a miserable failure, we're also distracted. Again, it's a self-focus, but this time a negative one. Our focus on ourselves is perhaps the biggest obstacle for our abiding in our Creator God. It might be positive or it might be negative. So we find ourselves in the middle of this tug of war. The scriptures are clear with regard to the importance of making room in our lives, in our schedules for Him. But both the world we live in, as well as our human addiction to ourselves, our needs, our desires, and our fears, keeps us too occupied so much of the time to feel like we have any room in our lives and schedules to give Him the time that we need to give Him. However, we often forget that we can choose the things that we give attention to. Like the runner who needs to run regardless of the weather if he or she is wanting to win the prize in that race. We can choose the things we give attention to, and We do. However, our choices are often not the things that actually line up with what we say are our priorities, the things that we most need, and oftentimes near not even what our hearts truly desire. So we miss out on the blessings of God's presence in our lives that He longs to share with us, to live in the state of abiding in our Creator God. I'd like to invite you to open with me to John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. And if you don't have a Bible at home, just log on to type in Bible.com and you'll have the Bible right there at your fingertips. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, the big branches above, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The Greek word for abide in chapter 15 is meno, which means to remain, stay, dwell, continue. And in this context in John chapter 15, it signifies a constant, intimate, and lasting union with Christ. I mean, what an amazing thought that is. Jesus is talking about a deep and ongoing relationship with Him, a continual state of knowing His peace and His strength. Wow. Why would we not want to make this a priority in our lives? Well, because God knows us so well, knows our struggles, His word both encourages us and invites us to make room in our lives for certain specific and powerful kinds of time that we can spend in order to make room for and to abide in our Creator. So let's look at four of the main avenues to do this. Here's the first. I invite you to write this down. Make room for time in God's word. God speaks to us through His word in a number of different ways. Firstly, through the words themselves, which are part of the inspired word of God to us. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that we can be equipped in every good work." Yes, God speaks to us directly through the words of scripture. And also because He is spirit, He also speaks to us through His word at a spirit level. So as we make time to sit and open God's word and spend time in His word, we are opening our spirits to Him. It's sort of above and beyond and beneath and above and all over. We are opening ourselves up to His spirit. We might not even be aware of what He is speaking to us at that time, but He is speaking to us through His still small voice, just by the fact that we have made time to sit and open His word in front of us. So studying His word is an essential ingredient to abide in Him. Another way that we're taught in scripture to make room for God is through worship together with other believers. We're stronger together. I mean, we know that just as a human being, if we're struggling with something, either something physical that we're trying to do or with an emotional issue, we feel stronger if someone or a group of people come around us. We are stronger and God's spirit is stronger when we join together both our spirits in the spirit of God during communal worship. Many tongues of fire. So I might have this one little flame going, but in a room full of us, we have many tongues of fire. It's always been a discipline to get up on a Sunday morning and find the margin to get out of bed and get to church, especially on evenings like this is, with the wind and the snow coming down. But it's more difficult even now than ever because people can just lay in their bed and watch the service on a screen on the other side of their bedroom if they have one in their bedroom. And that can be a real gift to us if we're sick and can't get to church, or a family member is sick, or for any other reason we can't physically get to church. It is a huge blessing to be able to enjoy a worship service online. But it's not the same as actually being together in the flesh. Matthew 18:20 quotes Jesus as saying, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Hebrews 10:24-25 challenges us with these words, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." So meeting together gives us not only the opportunity to learn from God's word and from the teaching we receive and from worship, but it also gives us the opportunity to encourage others and to be encouraged by others. In the time that we get to share with other believers before or after services or in between services, and as you all know who have been to ECC, there's no lack of sharing with people in between services. So our lobby is packed with people in conversation, which is such a gift. Also in a worship service, we're praying about worship. In a worship service, we pray together as a body of believers. We ponder his word together, and we share the powerful practice of communion with one another. And we lift our hearts, our spirits, and our voices together in songs of praise and worship. Do I get a little excited about that one? Yeah, I do. It is so amazing and thrilling to me, a music lover, how God ordained music to be such a powerful part of our worship and making room for him in our lives. And here again, while we can enjoy lifting up our voices and our spirit to him in praise while we're listening to a song on Spotify as we drive, or maybe when we're working on some things at home, how much more awesome it is to sing together with all of our voices raised and sometimes our hands, along with many other people and their voices doing the same. We become a heavenly choir all together. What a gift. We're made to love music because we are created by the most amazing musician there will ever be. It is our Creator God who created the music of the water running over the rocks in a stream in the quiet woods, or the rumble of thunder in the background, the crash of lightning when it comes, a gentle breeze rustling the leaves in a meadow, and the sound of rain falling on the roof, and the indescribable array of all the songs, all the notes of every creature that God has ever created. What an amazing thing. My favorite, one of my favorites, is tree frogs. And I'm sure we all have our own. What are the critters, you know, that we love to listen to? Tree frogs are around our house quite a bit. So yeah, I just come to love them for a bunch of reasons. In the message that I gave last winter, I spoke of how God used my love for his word, my love for music, and my rhythm from childhood of worship on Sunday mornings to bring to my mind, my heart, and my spirit life-giving words of scripture immediately after life had dealt me a paralyzing blow. I heard right then in my mind and spirit an anthem that I had both heard and sung in church years before. And the words to that anthem are directly from scripture. It's a verse out of scripture. There is no verse from scripture that could have been more timely or more powerful in its purpose in my life. The verse in the anthem is Isaiah 41:10, and in the anthem, it's in the King James Version, so that's the version we're going to look at. And the anthem goes, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Boy, I knew that word. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the anthem ends with a repetition. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. It has become my life verse. And had it not been for my love for praise music and my history of reading his word that I had been taught and encouraged to do as a child, and my history of regular worship in his house, I do not know how that verse would have ever come to my mind and my heart and in my spirit that way. It couldn't have. And it has brought so much hope and purpose into my life. When I heard those words at the time of deep, deep pain, confusion, and fear, I literally needed those words to go on. And the Lord has brought other words of scripture to me at other times of desperation and or needing him in a very special way. And he's always, always faithful to the promises that he gives us through his word. His word is life, and music is one of his amazing creations, and together they can be life-changing. Another form of making more room for the Lord in our lives comes from making room to serve his kingdom. By reaching out, by connecting, by being God's hands, feet, words, and actions to help others who need it, and to help the Church of Christ on earth draw more people to him by our being his words, his actions, his help to people. We as believers have been called upon to do this. In fact, this is a teaching that's more than an invitation. It's a command. In both the Old and New Testament, we are commanded to care for the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, and to notice those in need and to help them. Here are a few examples from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 24:19-21. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf is a big bundle of grain that had been tied up ready to haul off with, you know, in a big wagon of some kind. If you leave a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over it again. It shall be for the sojourner, fatherless widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterwards. The same, it shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. As things in scripture are said, stated three times, it's an extra, kind of like an exclamation point that we need to pay attention. In Proverbs 31:9, it says, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Psalm 82:3-4 says, give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And here's an example from the New Testament. In James 2:15-18, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. These are not easy commands. But if our relationship with our Creator God is truly our priority, we cannot just keep on meeting our own needs and ignore the needs of the people who truly are in need around us. We're commanded to help and actually given opportunity to help in a variety of ways, maybe different for each of us depending on how we might be able to give help. It might be physically helping with something, it might be financially, or it might be taking a stand and defending those who are in need or are being oppressed. As individuals, couples, and families, we're called to make room in our lives and in our schedules to serve those in need. to love others as we love ourselves, and to love others as our Creator God loves us. It becomes the natural outflow of our abiding in Him. And fourthly, make room for prayer. Try to imagine a relationship with someone with whom there is no communication of any kind. Is there any relationship there? We have a person here, no communication ever at any kind. Is there a relationship? No, there can't be, because communication is the foundation of a relationship, and prayer is the bedrock of our communication with our Creator God. It is perhaps our most powerful way to abide in Him. Here are some of the amazing gifts that come from prayer. Prayer keeps us connected to Him, gives us peace in the midst of a storm, gives us wisdom for life's decisions, is where we get our strength, is how we battle in the spiritual world, is how we stand in the gap for others, is how we fight temptation, is where we repent and express our brokenness, is where God changes heart and mind. Since prayer is so vital to our connection and communication with our Creator God, we need to make it a priority. We have to make it a priority in order to grow in Him, in order to be able to abide in Him. Corporate prayer is one of the kinds of prayer we see throughout Scripture, and that is a time to pray with other believers, both on Sunday mornings, in small groups, on retreats, or at specific prayer gatherings. Corporate prayer is not just a ritualistic practice, but a profound expression of our expressing unity in our love for God, in the things that we are seeking from Him. So when we're praying out loud in services, if you're like me, and maybe you're not, but I'm quite a ADD, and my mind is often going in other places. So when we're reciting the prayers that we all know and we're just reciting them for memory, it's so easy for me to just not think about, be mindful of what I am saying along with the other worshipers that we're saying all these things together. When our minds are truly all in it together, it is a really profound way that we can be in community with God together. But while the practice of prayer with other believers is important, it's our time of personal prayer that keeps us connected continually to God. Even Jesus, the Son of God, one of the Trinity, let us see how His connection and communication with His Father was an absolute necessity for Him while He was on earth. The New Testament gives us many examples of Jesus taking time, often before daybreak, sometimes all night long, to remove Himself from others and to go off to a lonely place to pray. And it's not like Jesus didn't need sleep. We also know that He was totally exhausted. In fact, one of the times He prayed was after long, exhausting days. He also prayed, as we see, for wisdom, discernment, and to prepare Himself for difficult times coming up. He prayed all night before the day coming where He chose His 12 disciples out of all the disciples that were following Him. He chose the 12. Jesus sought strength and comfort from His Father through prayer, as He did in Gethsemane in the hours before His betrayal and crucifixion. If Jesus, God's Son, needed to be constant in prayer on this earth, how much more do we? One of the types of prayer that's been so powerful in my life is that of centering prayer, which is a form of meditational, wordless prayer that is focused on just plain making room in our mind, in our spirit, for the Spirit of God to speak to us, not audibly, but to just make this space for this to happen. It has become life-changing for me. There are a number of different kinds and styles and ways that people pray, and I encourage you to find a type of prayer that fits for you. As we take more and more steps into prayer, we begin to experience what the Bible describes as praying without ceasing. Such an amazing thought. Once again, Paul here is not referring to nonstop talking. It would be kind of silly if we sat with our heads bowed and our eyes closed all day long. It would be, you know, that wouldn't do a whole lot for anyone, including us. But instead, he's talking about an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender that we carry with us all the time, that we keep in our spirit, our mind, our heart, as much as possible, our awareness of God and God with us and people around us, what they need, how can God use us, how can I thank him, all of those things, to have him in our mind all the time. In other words, abiding in him. Abiding in him. Last week we learned about how to go from good intentions to resolution keeping by taking a step. Today, you can take a step towards abiding in Christ by building some of those four priorities we talked about today into the rhythms in your life. What if you took a step as simple as this, to begin or end each day with a simple prayer and maybe reading a chapter from the scripture, maybe one in the morning, one at night, whatever works for you. Worshiping with your church family once a week, in person when you can, online when you cannot, and to serve with one of our many places to volunteer here at ECC, with the various things that we have going on where you can volunteer with Juntos, with any of the other places to serve those in need that God directs you to anywhere. We can ask for opportunities of what's available on the Connect card for ECC. A simple rhythm like this can help you take one step after another towards a life that's more constantly connected to the lifeline, the presence, his protection, his love, his wisdom, his direction. Even for those amazing folks who decide to climb Mount Everest, it starts with one step, one step. Each step brings us closer to him, and this is how we make room to abide in him.